On a recent summer day at the White House, a name was called out.
Fred David Gray.
Lawyer Fred Gray was being honored with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. A civil rights icon, once called the chief counsel of the protest movement, Gray thinks in more humble terms.
When I grew up in the ghettos of Montgomery, Alabama, born December 14th, 1930, that's 91 years ago, never thought about any presidential award. It just was a matter of, it was a black boy living in a black community where everything was completely segregated.
If Fred Gray's life had a motto, it would be, as he often says, to destroy everything segregated I could find. He defended Rosa Parks, he defended Martin Luther King Jr., and before he argued a case at the U.S. Supreme Court, he passed under the words on that building's facade, equal justice under the law, and thought to himself, we shall see. Thinking of Fred Gray's life, so rich with history and lessons for America's future, we're profiling the civil rights generation, those who fought to end discrimination based on race. When we caught up with him for our interview, Gray pointed out how the streets around his Tuskegee, Alabama office have been renamed, how much has changed, and how much hasn't.
So Fred Gray Street connects Martin Luther King Highway with Rosa Parks Plaza. And in the middle of the plaza is a Confederate monument with a Confederate soldier in it that we filed a lawsuit to try to get that land that the county once owned and conveyed without any consideration to the Daughters of the Confederacy.
There was a time when Fred Gray didn't know a thing about the law.
As I grew up, basically there were two professions that a young African American could think about being, and that would be a preacher or a teacher.
Gray's father died when he was 2, and at 13, his mother sent him to a Christian school where he trained for a life in the church.
And I apparently was a pretty good little boy preacher. He took me on trips throughout the Southeast and Southwest, let me make a little speech to the church before at those black churches of Christ.
Do you remember what you would preach about? Like, was there a sermon or your first sermon? Do you remember that?
Oh, I don't remember the first sermon, but it's probably, what must I do to be saved? Which is something that people needed to know.
It was a different sort of saving people that drew Fred Gray to the law. He learned lawyers help people solve problems, as he puts it. And he saw so many black people in his hometown with problems, like navigating Montgomery's segregated public buses. Fresh out of law school, he represented 15-year-old Claudette Colvin after she was arrested when a white passenger wanted her seat. It was another defendant of Fred Gray's who would make that cause famous.
I had met Mrs. Rosa Parks when I was a student at Alabama State before I went to law school. And she was the secretary to the branch of the NAACP. She was chairman of the youth committee. And I would go to some of her youth meetings when I was in college. And I opened my law office, which was located a block and a half from the Montgomery Fair, which was the department store where she was working. And we had a meeting during her lunch hour. She would walk up to my office and we would sit down and have lunches. We talked about our problems and we talked about if a person decided that they were asked to get up to give their seat to a white person. If they didn't want to do it, how should they conduct themselves? We talked about segregation. We talked about improving youth conditions. And we did that about 4 or 5 days a week. And our last conversation was on December the 1st, 1955. I told Mrs. Parks that I had an engagement out of the city and I wouldn't be in that afternoon. She went back to work. When I got back, she had been arrested. I was surprised. But while she never said if the opportunity presented itself to me, what she would do, I had a feeling that if that opportunity presented itself, she was well prepared and knew what to do.
Following Rosa Parks' arrest, Fred Gray went to the home of educator Joanne Robinson. As he remembers it, that's where they began a movement that would change this country.
We sat in her living room and planned what developed into the Montgomery bus boycott. I said, well, you know, I'm involved and I'm concerned about the legal aspect of it. She said, well, why don't we just get a leaflet out asking the community to stay off of the buses and then meet at a church and we'll decide where we go from there. I said, that's fine. The only thing with that is, if we're successful and if people stay off of the buses, we have to have a plan as to how to keep them off of the bus till there's a non-segregated basis. In order to do that, we need to get a spokesman, somebody who can speak, keep the people together, and be able to communicate whatever our request is to the community and to the power structure in Montgomery. She said, well, Fred, I tell you who the spokesman need to be. My pastor. Martin Luther King Jr. haven't been in town long. He's only been here a year, haven't been involved in any civil rights activities. But one thing he can do, and that is he can move people with words. I said, that's who we need. And it was the beginning of what developed into the civil rights movement.
The Montgomery protests lasted more than a year. The Fred Gray emphasizes that it was a lawsuit which led courts to rule segregated buses unconstitutional. When I pressed him about the boycott's legacy,
I mean, a lot of people point to, obviously, the Montgomery bus boycott as a critical example of like a community coming together and making a difference. Do you think that something on the scale of the Montgomery bus boycott could happen in this day and age?
You have to remember, the boycott itself is not what changed the law. What changed the law was Browder versus Gale, the lawsuit that was filed. So I think today, with all these problems we're having, it's going to take demonstrations, but we're going to still have to do whatever it takes to get the courts to rule properly. That's why registration and voting is so important, so we can elect the right people, so that the right persons can be appointed or elected to these judgeships, including when they are appointed to the Supreme Court. And we still have to have faith in the legal system, because that's the system that has brought us so far. But we have to do all these other things to help that legal system work.
For Fred Gray, there's no greater proof of that legal system working than the gerrymandering case he argued before the Supreme Court, Gomillion v. Lightfoot.
Well, Gomillion versus Lightfoot came about as a result of the Alabama legislature in 1957 enacting an act which changed the city limits of the city of Tuskegee. We had black people beginning to get registered. And in order for them to be out of the city, they changed the city limits from a square to 28 sides, going out to include white people, coming in to exclude black. And Gomillion v. Lightfoot is the case that I filed to do that. And it opened the door for the Supreme Court said you can't discriminate based on race, even in gerrymandering.
What do you think about the Supreme Court today? Obviously, a lot of cases have actually rolled back the Voting Rights Act. What do you think of the current makeup of the Supreme Court?
Well, we were fortunate enough to have a court during the early stages of my career that really, in my opinion, looked at the Constitution. And it wasn't a political matter. While it may have been a political appointment, they realized that once they took an oath of office as a justice on the Supreme Court, everything else is unimportant. Who appointed them, who voted for them, or who voted against them?
Are you worried that the work that you and so many others did on issues like voting rights, that is being undone?
I tell people in almost every speech I make, and I made one yesterday and I'll make two tomorrow, and that is, if we are not careful, we could end up losing some of the gains we have. And while we have many of our people now who have jobs and doing a lot better than when I was coming up, we still have these problems. And those basic problems are the same, racism and inequality. We have changed the laws, but we haven't changed the attitudes behind the persons who are enforcing those laws. And those are some of our problems. And you young people are going to have to be able to help solve them. At 91, I understand what it is to retire.
But you're still working, right? You're still doing the law, right?
I'm in my office right now. We are still in the legal business. And when people want the best legal services, they need to call us in Alabama, and we'll certainly be able to help.
Attorney Fred Gray, still at work and out with the new book, Alabama v. King. And just one member of the Civil Rights Generation will be profiling in coming weeks.